This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson, you know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833.
I've always begrudgingly used all the social media stuff, and that was the first time where it felt like, yeah, this is a way you can reach a ton of people, and all of a sudden, there's a bunch of people that know my name.
This is episode 447, Zach Top. I heard about Zach first from Jake Owen, and Jake's like, this dude is so good. So I don't know much about him, and so I went and searched him up, and, you know, he is so traditional sounding, I just thought he'd be older.
Yeah, he's 24.
Yeah, because he's really good. No doubt about it. But the first time I heard him without really seeing him, I thought, oh, I see why Jake likes him. Jake loves traditional country music. And I thought, man, what's this guy coming out? Finally decided to make a record. I don't know, 53. But like he's like right above being a kid. He's like a young adult.
Even just his speaking voice is much, much older.
It's like an adult man. Yeah. I really like Zach after hanging out with him for sure. He released his debut single, Sounds Like the Radio. And also, you think when you hang out with him, because he's a cowboy, he's like a real-life cowboy, and you think, what are we going to talk about? Like, how nice is, or how warm will a cowboy be? Because some cowboys, it's not that they're mean, but it's a hard life, not that warm.
It sounds like a country song already.
I know. I really like Zach Top. So you can follow him, Zach_Top. A couple things. It was the number one most added song that sounds like the radio for 2 weeks in a row. It's in the top, around the top 30 now,
yeah,
which is really cool. His debut album, Cold Beer and Country Music, no more traditional album name than that, is out now. It came out on April 5th. And so what was cool was it was released by a new independent label, which Zach's like their flagship artist, but like he's very independent, but just is catching some major steam because people love his sound and love what he's about. He's going out with Lainey Wilson. I don't know what else to say.
He has a great mustache.
Oh, dude, it's solid. It's like it's almost fake looking because it's so solid.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
Yeah. Would you grow a mustache if you could?
I can't. I've tried. I can't grow any facial hair.
Is that a Hispanic thing?
My dad has an awesome mustache. He like twirls it at the end.
He does have an awesome mustache.
I can't grow anything.
You are a failure to your genetics.
Yeah. I let down my family.
Zach_Top on Instagram. Zach Top on TikTok. Z-A-C-H. Here he is. I didn't know what I was getting. Didn't expect him to be young and super nice. But here he is, Zach Top. Zach, good to meet you, buddy.
How are you as well, Bobby? Thank you.
Now it's spread like a positive virus, but at the time, one of my good friends, Jake Owen,
yeah,
long time ago, was like, you know Zach Top guy? And I was like, I know who he is. Like, I don't know a lot about him yet, but he was like, man, he's the real deal. I didn't realize you were so young.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a baby, I guess.
Yeah, because, you know, your music is extremely traditional in the sense of traditional compared to today.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if you'd have been born in the 90s, you'd have been not traditional, you'd have been current.
Yeah, exactly. Cutting edge.
Yeah. So, but yes, Jake was like, man, this guy is so good. Are you starting to feel like a bit of love from inside the industry? Like from some artists that just like, man, we love what you're doing?
Yeah, definitely. There's been a bunch that have reached out and been real positive and really encouraging. You know, with it. He was, I think, about one of the first ones, and he's been super good to me. And it's funny, we joked over at the label I'm signed with. We were like, if Jake Owen's ever looking for a gig, he's going to run the promo team over here for Zach. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, even to me, he's like, man, this guy's so good.
Yeah.
So he's been a big fan for a long time.
He's been awesome, too.
Which has made me go, well, let me check it out. And then obviously, you wouldn't be here if I didn't think you're, you know, really good.
I appreciate that.
So what this stage of your life, are you running all the time right now? Or is it kind of the calm before what you feel is about to be the storm? Like, where are you in the tired scale?
A little bit of both, I guess. I stay pretty tired. I like to say I've been busier than a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest for the last, I guess since last August was our first kind of, like, it took off and it was just touring nonstop and starting to do, you know, signed with the label. So every day there wasn't a tour stop. There was a radio stop somewhere. Mm-hmm. So we're running around doing a lot of that. I feel like it's a little of both. Had a little break in January, and it's, you know, just picking back up into touring now. And I feel like as busy as I felt like I was at the end of last year, I think it's probably just going to be about twice as much as that the rest of this year. So
it's not even just the cowboy hat. It's not even just the sound of your music or the jean jacket, the denim. You have the single mustache.
Well, I'm telling you, you got to have the whole ensemble.
And the thing is, I believe it.
Well,
because there are some that I don't believe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I know for a fact, well, I know what I feel like is a fact, that they're putting on a bit. I feel like you're not putting on at all.
No, I don't ever try to put on too much.
I already had a mustache when you were 9. And that's how we know.
No, Lord, no. I couldn't look at my face, Bobby. I can't grow hair on it worth a dang. It's funny. I've been working on this thing for the last 3 years. I made a bunch of tries at it, and it'd get kind of long and wispy, and it was still too thin. I'd shave it back off, and I'd be like,
Dad,
no, but it's
Dad
almost
have a mustache?
There. No. My papa did, my mom's dad.
Yeah.
And it's funny. He and I are real, like, looking at young pictures of him, I'm kind of spitting image of him, I guess.
Is this going to be a permanent thing?
Oh, yeah.
It's not like, because I grew my hair out as a joke, and I cut a lot of it off today.
No.
But it was all a bit. But this is permanent, because it should. It looks, it's all real deal. You don't even get your pants tailored. You just roll them up.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, yeah, these things are too dang long, and so I just rolled them up.
You're from Washington?
Yes, sir.
State.
It's where they make all the good country music, didn't you know?
You know, I can't agree with that. State, not D.C., for those wondering.
Yep.
I've been to Washington a bunch of times, different parts of the state. It feels at times very isolated because it's a couple hours back. It's way to the north.
Yep.
You know, you're up in the corner. What was country music? What was music like for you within your family? Because I know you big bluegrass.
Yep. Yep.
You guys all played together.
Yep.
Yeah, what was music for you growing up ages, you know, 6 to 13?
That was, a ton of bluegrass and started to, the first thing that like kind of made me fall in love with music, the thing I got the bug from, my folks were just huge George Strait fans. They had that playing in the house nonstop, and I thought he looked pretty cool in a cowboy hat and holding a guitar. So
why they like him?
I think probably just the songs. And you know, it's the cool thing, you know, him being a real cowboy actually, was attractive. My dad, you know, works in the livestock business, still has for a long time. And, you know, so it was kind of, we were living, you know, I would not call myself a cowboy, but I got to play cowboy a good bit growing up. And so, you know, we listened to music that kind of fed into that a little bit. Him and Marty Robbins, and, you know, that was kind of the earliest stuff I remember just always hearing nonstop.
Very Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You know, I think of Marty Robbins too. I think of obviously just El Paso.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just
absolutely.
But Washington, did you live in a rural part of Washington that felt like a rural part of the South or Texas? Because there are parts of New York that's rural that feels like the South.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I think, having seen it now, it's a little different thing with, you know, the Northwest is, I would say it's more like a Colorado or Wyoming feel where I was at, I think. High desert, and you know, where the Cascade Mountains run down the middle of the state. Over, you know, everybody thinks of Washington, thinks Seattle and rain, and over where I was at, hell, it
barely rains 3 inches a year. It feels like out there, nothing but sagebrush and cheatgrass. And so it was, I would say it feels a lot like, you know, some of them west kind of towns more than, or parts of the world rather than south.
But, what about school? How big was your school? What was school like? What kind of student were you?
Yeah, it was a big school. 3 students. I was homeschooled.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. My mom homeschooled all of us kids up through basically our sophomore year of high school.
Was that just a trick so that she get you to do more work around the house?
There was some of that.
You got more stuff to do around the house.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
You and 2 of your siblings were homeschooled?
Yeah, well, all 4 of us. My oldest sister is just a good bit older.
Got it.
She was out.
She graduated.
Top Academy. She was doing, she went to community college, I guess, by the time I, you know, kind of remember doing school. But yeah, my younger brother and then I got a sister, we're all 16 or 18 months apart. And we, so it was a lot of, I was a pretty good student. I was good at math.
Did you learn on the road a lot? Because you guys were playing music. I mean, you were, 7 when you started playing with the family band?
Yep.
Did you, since you were playing a lot of music, was that really why you were homeschooled? So you guys could play music and travel?
No, not really. The homeschooling thing was a big, like the church that we grew up in and stuff, it, real fundamental type, you know, folks. And that was a big thing in our church was, you know, keeping, you know, protecting your kids from the world, I guess, a little bit. And that was just kind of the culture we were all in. So what they decided to do with us. And, you know, as far as learning on the road, the way bluegrass stuff works, it's really heavy in the summer. And then there's not a ton of stuff, you know, it's a bunch of outdoor festivals and stuff like that. There's not a bunch of traveling that we did during the, you know, school year, I guess. There was maybe 3 or 4 festivals that we'd go to during the winter. And then that was more that, you know, we'd play basketball and then baseball in the spring. So we could do some sports as well. And then pretty much the whole summer was just dedicated to the music thing.
How did you play sports? Because if you play basketball, they got 2 more players than you on the court.
Oh yeah.
It's 5v3. It's hard to win. Where did you, how did you play ball?
It was all like club teams, you know, starting in Little League, obviously.
Like YMCA type stuff.
Yeah.
In Arkansas.
Yeah, exactly.
So you played ball, you played basketball?
Yep.
What else
through? And baseball. That was kind of it for me. And then started golfing pretty early on too. My mom's whole side of the family's big golfers and my dad loves playing too. So that was a big one for us early on.
Do you have to pass like a graduation test
The homeschool thing, the state, you still have to basically just have an assessment at the end of every year. The state sends you a test, basically just, you know, go over your knowledge. And
does anyone look over you taking it, or can your mom take it for you?
Well, she didn't, but maybe she could have.
I'm not saying she did. I'm saying could other people have cheated the system?
Probably. I don't know what the verification was. Like, there was no, you know, camera on us or anything taking
it. What I'm trying to do, Zach, is figure out how I can homeschool my kids when I have them and take their tests, and so I can just make them do housework.
Perfect. I think you can get away with it.
I'm not accusing you. I'm figuring out a way for me to do it.
Well, cameras are so much more prevalent now. I'm sure they make you, you know, sit there with your kid on the camera taking the test.
Musical instrument that you played first?
My parents said they started me on piano first. The first memories I have is with a guitar. They got me, you know, I say that. They got me a Walmart first act guitar when I was like 3 or something.
Like small, like mandolin size?
Yeah, little thing. And I was left-handed and they got me a right-handed guitar and neither of us knew the difference. So I just banged around on it upside down. But starting to take lessons, my oldest sister was a really, really good classically trained pianist. And so she started teaching all us younger kids. I don't know, it must have been 4 or 5. I took my first guitar lesson when I was 5. So it must have been somewhere right in there about the same time that I started taking piano lessons as well.
Do you remember loving music as a young kid or just thinking this is what we do? Because older sister, siblings, this is just part of school.
It was definitely, as far as the guitar playing side and country music, I loved that forever. The piano lesson thing, my parents kind of dragged me kicking and screaming through that. And I hate it. I wish I'd applied myself more now. But I think it was all, you know, I didn't have any interest in learning Beethoven and Chopin. I was, you know, I wanted to, if somebody was teaching me how to play piano like Pig Robbins, I probably would have loved it. But you know, the music didn't do anything for me. So I just kind of hated it. And, gosh, I wish I could play. You know, if I'd applied myself and be able to play piano like I can play guitar.
Can you play piano at all?
Yeah, I can fool her. I can do you a little Piano Man, Billy Joel, you know, a
you
few little
things.
You can
fake it for a couple of songs to make everybody think you're good.
Yeah, I could get by that, yeah, yeah.
Well, I used to do this bit at my comedy shows. I don't anymore because everybody finally had seen it. But first I took piano lessons as an adult.
Yeah.
Which was very hard.
Yeah. How old when you?
30.
30, yeah.
Older than you.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was like, I want to learn to play piano because I want to be, because I play guitar for comedy reasons.
Yeah.
But I'm not a guitar player, but I play enough.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to learn how to play piano. So I learned some chords just so I could write some funny songs.
Yeah.
And I had a TV appearance once and I played a song on, I actually played it on piano and it was okay, but I was really nervous, not comfortable with piano at all. But then I just recorded the track and I thought, what if I do my comedy shows and I just take a keyboard and fake it? Nobody knows the difference.
Yeah.
I just play the track over the top like the DJs do sometimes.
Yeah.
And so, but then I it was fun. I would just sing it. But the song was pretty funny, but it went crazy funny. But then I thought, what if I do the song and then all of a sudden I have somebody else record the track for me and all of a sudden it turns into like a Beethoven, Chopin, and I look like I'm up there just...
Yeah, there you go.
And then it's so advanced.
Yeah.
So then I end up like standing on one foot, just doing it like Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
So then everybody knew it was a joke.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But
it makes it a bit. Yeah.
But then I stopped doing piano lessons because it was extremely hard as an adult for me to wrap my head around it.
Man, it's funny. I think about that a lot. Like the fact that my parents did, you know, let me, because my parents aren't musical at all. They didn't have any background in it. My oldest sister basically started playing piano so she could play in church.
So was she the leader of the band, the family band then?
No, that was me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll come back to that. Keep on with the story you're telling me now.
But yeah, so I think about that a lot. The amount of time that, like, I probably, from the ages of 5 to 15, I probably played guitar like 3 hours a day or something. And just the, like, knowing other artists and people that have started, you know, in their teen years or something, I can't imagine, because you just don't have time anymore to do that, you know, let alone being actually having to work full time as an adult. I remember my dad for a second was going to, I played guitar. Obviously my little brother played mandolin. Maddie, my sister, played fiddle. And then the oldest sister, Lakin, played bass for the little bluegrass family band. And so we were missing the banjo. So my dad got a wild hair that he was going to be the banjo player at some point, but it was the same sort of thing where, you know, it was probably a couple months. He had a lesson every week, but you know, he ain't got time to sit down and practice and let alone just you get older, it's
your
harder
brain
to pick
chemistry,
new stuff up.
Yeah, it is already established how it's going to work.
Absolutely.
You say you were basically the leader of Top String?
Is that the name Top String, yeah. My mom was really proud of that one. Still is.
But you aren't the oldest?
No.
So how do you lead if you're not the oldest sibling? I would just think naturally the oldest of the oldest would be like, I'm the leader of the band.
Yeah. I think I wanted it worse than anybody else for sure. They did it and had fun with it most of the time. I think I was pretty difficult to work with at times. Maybe that hasn't changed. I don't know. But anyways, I booked our first show, I guess. An old family friend of ours, Randy, had called my dad and asked. The first show we played was opening for a Patsy Cline musical at the local high school. And Randy had heard that he was part of the Rotary Club, you know, helping put it on or whatever. He had heard that we were taking music lessons and, you know, we weren't even doing it as a band. Everybody was just learning their instrument individually and we were all doing our own thing kind of. We had nothing worked up together. And he called and asked my dad if we'd like to come do the, come open for that musical. And my dad said, well, Randy, you're going to have to ask them. I can't answer that for him. And so he put me on the phone. I don't remember this.
How old were you?
7. I've been told the story enough. He was like, hey, we'd like you to come do the show. And I said, well, Randy, that sounds great. We'd love to. And my first question was, how long is it? Or how much time do we have? And he was like, oh, showing for a couple months. And I said, well, that's perfect. We'll know some songs by then and we'd love to do it.
So then you start rehearsing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we started actually, trying to work up stuff together.
Kids do the darndest things.
Do they ever?
That was you at 7.
Yeah.
Running the business.
Yeah.
Why would you play guitar for hours at a time? Meaning, was it pure enjoyment? Was it pursuing the dream of music? Was it pursuing the idea of getting out of Washington? Not in a negative way, but just...
No, right.
Yeah. Why would you dedicate so much time to it? In your mind as a kid, what did you think it would lead to?
I really don't know that I thought it would lead to anything. All I knew was I loved the music. And country music specifically. I remember my folks had a, remember them briefcase things that had a bunch of slots for tapes, yeah. cassette tapes. They have one of those downstairs, and we still had a tape machine. I think it was pretty out of date at that point, but we had a tape machine down in the basement. And I would go through that thing just one by one, take one out, play it through, try and learn every song on there, learn how to sing them, learn how to play them, just sit down there in front of that tape machine for hours, sitting there with my guitar.
Did you want to be a performer?
I loved performing, yeah, for sure. I loved being on stage. I was always, you know, the front man from the start, the one talking between songs, doing most of the lead singing. My sister Maddie's an awesome singer as well, and Jorman Lakin are too. But we, the two of us, did most of the lead singing. And yeah, I really, it was a long time before I ever thought anything about, maybe I could actually do this for a living. I was ate up with the music. I loved it.
It was just passion. It was just a love.
Yep. A whole bunch of old bluegrass records. I remember I got a box set thing with like 80 George Jones songs on a CD. I went through all of those, learned all that stuff. I remember the first time they had the Don't Close Your Eyes tape of Keith Whitley, and I about lost it when I heard that thing, learned every song off of it. And then
it's like you're 200 inside of a body of a, 7-year-old, and now 25. Did you always feel a bit more mature than the kids your age when it came to the art that you enjoyed?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And I always, you know, I think I always hung out with, you know, kids that were, I played up a good bit, whether it was sports or music or anything. I was always hanging with kids that were a couple years older than me. And especially in the music sense of it, I guess. I grew up with a handful of guys that I ended up playing in a band with called North Country for a little while. And those, you know, most of the guys in that band were 10 years older than me or something. But I loved
it. They were, because I'm familiar with the band.
Yeah.
So like 2015, you guys start. What was your role in that band?
I came in, they had a mandolin player that got picked up by another band.
How'd they find you?
They were Washington guys too, so all the festivals up in the Pacific Northwest, we were going to all the same festivals, so we'd see each other nonstop, you know, just for a long time.
Sure.
Just jamming, having fun. We didn't think it was, but when they lost that fella, Nick Dumas, did most of the lead singing for them and played mandolin, they asked me if I would like to learn mandolin and come be their lead singer, so I did.
Did you learn mandolin?
Yeah.
Was it pretty easy to go one to the other?
On the one hand, yeah, it's weird. It's just like technical things. It's a different attack that took me a little bit to get used to, but they asked me, I guess, in like November of 2014, and I think our first show was in February of 2015.
Mandolin just seems so intense.
It's a lot.
Because I would watch Ricky Skaggs.
Yeah.
And I know Ricky from me playing the opera at the same. And I was a Ricky Skaggs fan as a kid, and then get to know Ricky at the Opry.
Yeah.
But then to watch him play up close, it just feels so intense up close. Way more intense than it seems from afar.
Yeah. And I think it's a more difficult instrument to play, in my opinion, than guitar. And probably that's partly because I've spent more time on the guitar, but like just from like physically, you got two strings, you know, the double strings tuned the same. So you're depressing two strings at a time instead of just one, you know, just little things like that. I felt like it was hard on my hands compared to, and it's tiny too. Like you're wrapped around a hoe handle with your hand and the frets are smaller. I felt like it was kind of, I faked my way through it.
When's the last time you played a mandolin?
Oh, that's been a minute.
If I handed you one, could you fake it like you did? You can't.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I could play.
And by fake
stuff.
It, still play it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But you could make somebody feel like, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, that'd be cool. I can't fake anything that good. Nothing. I can't fake anything.
I've gotten so good at faking so much stuff, I'm telling you.
Let's take a quick pause for a message from our sponsor.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah, that's what the whole store basically is, fresh leather,
yep.
Friendly staff.
or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for four lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with four lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
And we're back on the Bobbycast.
So you're in another band. Now, at this point, it's another group.
Yep.
It's another group dynamic.
Yep.
Were the thoughts ever, hey, I think I can do this by myself, or I want to pursue something not to lose the other guys, but something that's more real true and traditional to me, which is, you know, the sound we call your traditional sound now.
Yeah.
When did that start kind of creeping in?
That was, I guess, when I started working with Carson Chamberlain, my producer and co-writer on everything. that started to feel like, once I started working with him, he was really focused on trying to, like, that's what he, from the first times we talked together, he impressed upon me the importance of that to, like, all right, so we know you love Keith Whitley and you love George Jones and you love Merle Haggard and you love George Strait, but when you sing a Keith Whitley song, you got to start figuring out how to sing like Zach, not like Keith Whitley all the time. And, you know, or whoever it was that I was covering the song. And so there was a lot of, you know, when we would be writing and, or even when I'd just listen to demos or whatever it was a lot of working on figuring out my thing that was, you know, going to set me apart from everybody else. And so at that point, I think it started being like, all right, this needs to be my thing. Not as much of a, the way all those bluegrass bands worked was, you know, it's a collaborative effort. Everybody's got their input on what songs they think we should be doing and how we should arrange them and, you know, all this different type of stuff. And so once I started, yeah, focusing in on who I was as an artist, then it all of a sudden, it felt important that it's like, all right, I got to call the shots now, sort of.
Like when you were seven.
Yeah, exactly.
North Country, was North Country bluegrass though?
Yeah, well, so
was it
that
a hybrid-ish
type? Yeah, very much. Like if you, the early Skag stuff and, you know, even Whitley in that last, you know, thing he did with J.D. Crowe where it was mostly bluegrass instruments, but they had some drums on some stuff and some steel on some stuff and piano, I think, too, in there a little bit. We loved, everybody in that North Country band was a big fan of that kind of hybrid thing. So we were doing a bunch of country songs. We played all bluegrass instruments. It was an entirely acoustic band. But we loved, you know, bridging that gap a little bit between.
Since you were the young, they were 10 years older or so, mm-hmm. generally. Was their mind, hey, we're just doing this for fun. We got jobs and kids.
Mostly, yeah. I mean, they all loved the music. There was one other kid that was, he's a couple, or yeah, a year or two younger than I am, who's a phenomenal musician. He's from up in Squamish, British Columbia. So we were the youngest in the band. And But the older guys, I think definitely was more of a for fun thing. It's funny, the other guy that was kind of the band leader, I started being responsible for a lot of the song selection and
like set list or like writing?
Yeah, Got it. And but this guy, Will McSeveny, was kind of the band leader. He ran the, you know, as far as the business side of things and everything, he took care of all of that and did some of the co-writing on some of the songs with me too. He's here in Nashville now. He's got a small bluegrass label. He's got a few artists signed too. So he's kind of, you know, I think really enjoys the business side of the thing probably more than the, you know, being the one on stage making the music. So he's in the music business still, but I think, yeah, for the rest of them, it was more of a, you know, it's a fun thing to do on the weekends.
If you're in a band and, I don't know, did you sneak off and do something by yourself for the first time? Or were you just like, I'm going to go record? Or did you just like, the band's no longer, I'm going to just, like the first song you recorded, was it under the, because once I snuck and worked at another radio station, didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Used a fake name. I was like, let me see if I like it.
Yeah.
What was the first, when it was just Zach Top? Or was it Zach Top? Was that your name?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was the first song you recorded? And was it when you were like, I'm not in the band anymore?
No, it was. So after that North Country band, I joined up with another group that was, I mean, they were all scattered around, fiddle player from Murfreesboro, bass player from just outside of St. Louis, mandolin player. And
still living
player.
Up there?
I was still living in Colorado at the time.
Got it.
And
I don't even know when you moved to Colorado.
Oh, yeah. That was 17. We played our last show with the family band the summer of 2015.
And you moved to Colorado?
17. Yep.
For what reason?
Both of my sisters were moving out there. My parents kind of shipped me off. They wanted me to get out of town. I was dating a little gal, and they thought I shouldn't have a little business.
Taller than 3 feet?
Yes, yes.
Okay, just making sure.
She's a regular size.
Okay,
gal,
all right, so regular. Okay, got it. Just making sure.
Yeah. So they kind of were like, because I thought I was going to stay there and
just get married.
Get married and go to Wazoo or something. And anyway, ended up, that's WSU, I guess. Probably it's one of the Washington people.
Yeah.
Perfect. So anyway, my sisters were going out to Colorado to see you. And they kind of just shipped me off with them. And
you live in Boulder?
Yep.
I lived in Boulder
for the first. It was really fun while I was in school there for a year and had a blast while that went on. As soon as I decided I was done with school and quit that and started working, I got pretty tired of it pretty quick.
What'd you do for work?
I started working construction.
Were you still playing music?
Yeah.
On the weekends?
Yep.
And what did you think? What did you foresee happening within the next 5 years or so once you decided school's not for me?
Yeah.
You still played music. Obviously, you loved it. Did you see a future in it for you long term?
Yeah. Yeah. That was the reason that I quit school was that was like, hell, I guess I was only 1 year away from finishing. I was a mechanical engineer. I was only 1 year away from finishing my degree.
Didn't even want to hang another year, huh?
No. I was just like, I got to be done with this. And you know, it's going into debt on school. I felt like I was just digging myself a hole to where, obviously, knowing what I know now on the music business side of things, it's not good to start in a hole because you're going to get yourself in more of one trying to start this kind of career. So, I basically was just like, I got to make some money and save it up so I can move to Nashville.
So that's why you were working?
Yep. That's why I decided to quit.
And what
my parents were thrilled, as you can imagine, that I decided to quit my mechanical engineering degree a year before.
You know, 1 year, I get it. I see why.
Oh, I know,
like,
same.
Quit as a sophomore.
Yeah.
No, not a junior or senior.
Yeah.
But no, you knew what you wanted to do. You're right.
Yeah.
And you obviously had a head on your shoulders. It was pretty good considering how old you were. And that seems to be the thing that's in common throughout your whole life. If you're 7 or if you're 9 running the band so when you moved to Nashville, what was that number you needed to hit either financially or because you're saving up money, but what are you saving to have so you can move out just enough to move, and have $5,000 in the bank? Like, what was it?
I think more than financially, it was just like to be in a position where construction is just a thing. You can do that anywhere. So that was kind of, I'll save up a little money and then I'll move to Nashville. I'm sure I can get a construction job out there. And that's what I did for the first little bit that I was out here. But I think more than anything, like I didn't know how to get to Nashville or what the hell I was going to do when I got here. I had no clue about the music business outside of just, you know, the tiny little world of bluegrass. So when I started talking to Carson, that was
Carson Chamberlain.
Yep, Carson Chamberlain. Spring of 2018. After Daryl Singletary passed away, I put up a video of his song, Spilled Whiskey, and that thing kind of blew up for me. I'd never, you know, I'd started posting some videos just pretty much on Facebook, I guess. I didn't even have an Instagram, I don't think. But anyway, I was posting stuff on Facebook, and I'd got, you know, 1,500 views on a video before or something, and that thing kind of took off and shot up to 300,000 views on it and had a bunch of people reaching out to me.
Were you living here then? Or
no, just, still Colorado.
Still Colorado.
Yes, sir. It had a bunch of people, you know, it all felt like shysters for lack of a better term.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's the kind of thing where you can come up with $20,000 and, you know, we'll cut you a record and put it out. And it was, I didn't know anything, but I knew that that didn't feel right. And I was pretty sure that wasn't the way it worked. But around that same time, Carson reached out to me and we started talking and, you know, just seeing his resume and all the, you know, hit songs and people he's produced and all the work he's done throughout the industry was like, all right, this guy's a real deal. And from the, you know, moment we first started talking, he was much more of a long-term, big picture, you know, we're not going in and cutting next week. We're probably not doing it this year. And so it was, that made sense to me that everything he was saying and telling me felt like the way to build a career, not just like, let's capitalize off a little bit of online buzz.
Was that video going a bit viral? What was the final part of the catapult that made you just go, I need to get out there?
I think talking to Carson was what kind of...
Did he find you because of the video?
Yeah. Yeah, he found me. Country Rebel, if you know that page, they had reposted that video. And so he found it on there. And starting to, you know, I spent better part of 2 years flying in and out of town. I'd come, you know, once a month I'd come in for a week and he'd set up co-writes for us. I'd stay at his house and all that. We did that for a little while. But that was finally, once I started working with him, that felt like, okay, now I've got something to move out there for. And because as bad as I wanted to get out here, I didn't feel like there was much point in, you know, just coming out with nothing to, I don't know. I guess it just finally validated. That's like, all right, if this guy wants to work with me,
boy, he really believed
I might
in
have
you, huh?
A shot. Yeah. Big
yeah,
time.
Yeah, like letting you stay at his house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's treated me like another kid of his.
Make you do the dishes?
Well, sometimes.
Okay. See, that's how you know it's real.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're moving from Colorado to Nashville. Did you just pack up the truck and drive it?
Pretty much.
Were you more excited or nervous? Or what was your mindset? Like, let's just give it a shot and see what happens. If not, worst case, I go back home.
Yeah, I was pumped. I was very excited. And, you know, it was funny. When I told my parents I was quitting school and coming out here, like I said, they were not thrilled. I was being facetious. They were not fans of that.
And, I think we all got that, by the way. Yeah, yeah.
And so I had a bit of a rocky relationship with them for a little bit.
Really? It did create a bit of a splinter for a while.
Yeah, it did. And then, but I think as, you know, when I could call home and tell them I was working with this Carson Chamberlain guy and explain to them, you know, what he'd been doing for the last 40 years and you know, send home some of the songs we've been writing and that sort of thing, I think that validated it to them as well. And so I think they kind of jumped all on board and they were very supportive after a minute. So it did feel like when I moved out here, it's like, I'm going to go for it. We'll see. I've got a, you know, safety net. I've got family and I felt like I had Carson looking after me too, to where I didn't feel like I was just going to be out here on my own trying to figure out through the barren tundra of Nashville.
What was this town like for you when you moved out here? What was your perception of Nashville the first 6 months? Because my definite perception was different than what it is now.
It was dumb. I hated it because Carson told me, I figured when I'd get moved out here that I'd be playing in bars every night and writing songs every day. And he told me, absolutely not. You don't need to do that. We'll write a couple days a week and you keep working construction. And I think, you know, looking back, there's a ton of wisdom in that just to keep from getting kind of swallowed up in the Nashville machine and becoming one in the crowd. I think I was able to keep the town just a little bit at arm's length and keep working on, you know, my own thing that made it stand out. So it was, you know, I moved to Spring Hill, It was, you know, so I wasn't on Broadway every night. I haven't even spent a night on Broadway. I didn't have much interest in that. I found kind of some of the more divey places that were playing some old school music that I liked, stuff like the Local and Music City Bar and Grill and stuff like that. But so I was still, you know, I was working construction 4 or 5 days a week and writing 2 days a week, and it was it was work.
Were you chomping at the bit a little bit though? Like, I'm in Nashville. Oh,
big time.
God dang, man, I want to do more.
Big time. And like looking at other sort of peers of mine, you know, that were, you know, they already had publishing deals or what have you. It felt like they're doing what I want to be doing. And I think even once I got my first publishing deal, I kept working construction, and that was all, you know, Carson kind of urging me to do that and not ever play in town pretty much. And, you know, I had a decent little road schedule still.
What kind of shows were you playing on the road?
I had a country band at that point, and whatever we could get into, some smaller time festivals, you know, play little fairs, just, you know, some bar owner saw a Facebook video of mine, and so he wants me to come play, and it was a bunch of that stuff.
Did that Facebook video, the Daryl Singletary video, did it live a long time where people were still like, dude, I just saw this video, and you're like, that's 4 years ago.
It felt like, not that long, but it felt like for like the whole year after that, that thing kept coming back up.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was the first I've always begrudgingly used all the social media stuff, and that was the first time where it felt like, yeah, this is a way you can reach a ton of people. And, you know, when I had nothing else going on, all of a sudden there's a bunch of people that know my name and, you know, are following me now. And I think that, yeah, it's funny. I didn't ever want to make a TikTok. I didn't want to post on Instagram.
Yeah, you're not the guy to me that seems like he's just craving TikTok.
No.
But it has now been seen that if you don't do it cheesy, it's not cheesy.
No, exactly.
Like, and I mean, now, because there was such a, I'm not going to get on TikTok because I'm not doing a dance. I'm not being a goof. Mm-hmm. But now it is what you make of it. The band that really switched that for me was, like, I don't know if you know Red Clay Strays.
Yeah, man.
I had them on my show last week. Guys. I love them.
Awesome.
All Alabama boys. Yep. And it's kind of this mixture of like retro rock and country.
Yeah, Jerry Lee Lewis thing in there. Yeah.
Just awesome. Yeah. So they came up to the show. And I was like, next time you guys are in Tennessee, come play my show. Mm-hmm. And so they did. They showed up. We played. We did a whole thing on the air.
That's killer.
But I told them they were like the first band to me. Them and Lake Street Drive.
Yeah, Lake Street Drive.
That they made it not cheesy.
Yep.
Because they just did what they did. Mm-hmm. Somebody just captured what they were doing.
Yep.
And it didn't feel like some strings being pulled by someone trying to create the content that they think will work.
Yep.
And those were the artists that really made me tell my other artist friends, like, shut up. Just do what you do. Just have somebody record it.
Yeah. Use the platform for what you do.
Don't run toward the platform.
Exactly.
Let the platform come to you. And if it doesn't, that's okay.
Yep. No, yeah. It's just if you're making compelling content, people will watch it. You don't have to be dancing or, you know, doing something funny or whatever. That's all I've ever posted on TikTok, pretty much. Just me sitting there with a guitar.
No dances.
Playing an old song. No, there was one video that I considered not posting. I made it while I was working on this house up north of Nashville. I've got my tool belt on, you know, I've got my hammer loop in the back, and guys will do a trick where they toss the hammer up and spin it, and it goes in the loop. And so that was the closest thing I kind of came to doing a dance, I guess.
Yeah, it's not close to doing dance, so you're still good in my book.
Yeah. Well, I was shaking my ass around trying to catch the thing, you know, a little bit. So I think some people enjoyed it.
Can you dance?
I can two-step a little. Okay. I can swing dance a little.
The swing dance, my grandma taught me a two-step. I'm from Arkansas, so, you know, my grandma taught me to two-step.
Yeah.
And then I also grew up in the, you know, 90s, 2000s when music was then universally available online, Napster.
Yep.
So you could really have any kind of music at all. So I also went to a school that wasn't just all white.
Yeah.
So like a two-step, but then I would just grind.
Yeah.
I just get on a butt and grind.
Yeah.
That's what we did at the dance then. And so, but never really had, like, you know, I wasn't super good at it. I want to dance with the stars. I won that show. But
again, you did?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were on there.
The mirror ball's right
behind
you.
That's hilarious.
But it's like I never was good.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it fine. It was music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My point was I line danced a little bit.
Yeah. I never could get into that much. When I was out in Colorado, I had a bunch of, you know, kind of redneck buddies that I lived with, and we'd go down to the Grizzly Rose.
I played there before.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
I love that place. We spent a lot of time in there. And I tried the line dancing thing a little bit, and it wasn't my thing. If I didn't have a, you know, I'd like to.
Have a small girl under 3 feet tall.
A little girl, yeah, a little gal. Yeah, that's what I want to be dancing with. If I'm dancing by myself, I look dumb as hell. And so I spent more time on the pool tables, I guess.
I definitely look dumb.
Yeah.
But I was okay with it.
But I love it. You know, it's like a wedding dance party, like reception.
You'll dance?
Oh, yeah. I'll get out there and act a fool.
So you're not too cool to do it.
No. Got it. A couple beers in me and I'll start taking clothes off and doing things nobody's ever seen.
So. No, I'm good not knowing about that.
Yeah, that's all right.
In college.
There's pictures you can find.
Nope, I'm good on not seeing those too. In college, I took line dancing.
Okay.
Because I knew all the girls were taking
line
dancing. Yeah.
Just at one of the clubs or something?
Dude, it was Southern Arkansas. No, yeah, it was a class. It was a college class.
It was a college class.
Yeah, like on Tuesday evenings. I would go and take line dancing. And I learned the dances because I was like, but really, I just wanted to get what got me though was I went and I was like, I'm going to meet all these girls because apparently it's like 90% female, but it was like 90% female non traditional. So they're all like 50.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
So I really,
you'll have that.
So I really just
that
learned
wasn't,
the dances.
That yeah, was,
I really
yeah wasn't. You just became a really good dancer.
Yeah. I just got a lot better at line
dancing.
Didn't
have no distraction.
The Bobbycast. We'll be right back.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. Talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or you like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com.
TECOVAS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Bachrach as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
This is the Bobbycast.
The Washington State music scene, I'm not going to even say Seattle because Seattle to me obviously is... What it's associated with to me is two things. One, the grunge in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
All of
course.
It, from Nirvana. You go to all. And then even a bit of a hip-hop movement with Macklemore.
Absolutely.
And that. What the Washington State country scene, is there a country scene or is there the bluegrass scene even bigger?
I mean, it's hard to say. The bluegrass scene was not big out there. There's a festival in Washington somewhere every weekend you can go to all summer. And a handful of good ones in the winter as well. So it felt like it was big at the time. I mean, it's nothing like the Southeast. And as far as country, there was no, like, I didn't play any country music up there. I was playing country songs in my bluegrass sets, but there's not a circuit of clubs you can play.
No, really. Straight ahead country clubs.
No, not really. There's one, that Tractor Tavern in Seattle is a pretty strictly country spot. I've not played there yet, hopefully soon. But that was, you know, and even just country music to see that, you know, it was basically when you got the county fair or rodeo, they bring in some. I remember the first big show I went to see was John Michael Montgomery open up for Dwight Yoakam, I believe. And I took that little gal I was dating. That was
She had grown a little by then, though.
What's that?
She had grown pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely.
We were talking about like a video going viral,
yeah.
But I saw that Bad Luck had really blown up on TikTok.
Sir. Yeah.
And that was just you doing your thing.
Yeah, it was me doing a stupid thing. I was laying on a dang seat in a pontoon in my jeans.
Right. So what does
playing
that tell
guitar
you?
On a boat.
What did you learn from that?
Man, it's so funny. I don't know because I don't know what it was about that video that was compelling to people, because it was like, you know, if I listen back to it, it wasn't the best I've ever sang. It wasn't the best I've ever played guitar. It was like I was sitting in a position where it was difficult to play guitar. And I don't know if it was just because it was kind of goofy that, you know, I'm wearing jeans on a boat. I look uncomfortable while I'm playing. I don't know if there was something goofy about that kind of made it resonate with people or what. But like I can point to 20 different videos on my TikTok where it's like, now that was a compelling performance of the song. Mm-hmm. And it got anywhere near the amount of views that one did. It feels like such a, like, it's the Wild West out there. You don't know what's going to hit her. You know, even with that song, I've loved that song ever since we wrote it. But I figured just the type of song it was, the fact that it's so different, doesn't sound like anything, it felt to me like, this is probably going to be like my sneaky favorite on the record. And most other people won't pay attention to it. And boy, was I wrong about that. So it feels so strange to, I feel like I know a good song when I hear one and know something like that can be a hit. But even that one, I didn't call that shot, that's for sure.
And I think, because I've also seen the video, it seemed, you're right. I don't even know when I'm comfortable, but it just seemed so not shiny.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't.
No.
And I think that is likable. And I think too, it's just like you just do your thing over and over again. Don't be distraught when it doesn't work. You just keep doing it because it's not going viral doesn't mean that it's not going to connect.
No. Yeah.
Like it's almost like you have to keep doing it over and over again.
100%.
Until you catch the freaking algorithm.
Yep. Yep. It's wild how that stuff works. Yeah, and like even like reposting, you know, at the beginning of my, well, I had, when we first hired, my management team hired a company to start running my socials because it was, you know, it gets to be too much for one person to run. They would even repost the same video a couple weeks later and
do totally different numbers, good or bad.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, just keeping on hammering that, keep throwing mud against the wall, and at some point something will stick.
It's the dumbest thing. I did a video the other day, just had my hair, I was growing it out because I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
For no other reason.
Yeah.
My wife wanted to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
But I put it in like five different little ponytails, which I've never done that before.
Yep.
I'm not a ponytail guy.
No.
Are you sure? I'm positive, yeah. Got a million streams on that video. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Except had my hair in five ponytails. And I was like, hey, I hope you guys are having a good day.
Yeah.
That was nothing.
It's wild.
And I think if I did it again, it may get like 1,000.
Right. There's no telling it.
It was a combination of the two things. One, me being so good looking and so charming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And those together really made that video work.
Those would be the leading factors, no doubt.
What does your hair look like?
It's fluffy. There's a lot of it right now.
Look at you.
Yeah, there's...
You have all the hair. You have like Aaron Tippin hair.
Yeah. I wish I had his muscles. But
yeah. Well, yeah. I saw...
We can work on that.
He, like 5 years ago, pre-pandemic, he came to the studio.
Yeah.
And he was in his 60s now.
Yep.
Still pretty jacked.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time.
Still pretty jacked.
Yeah.
For
no
a 60-year-old dude.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that to me, like, that was that part of country music. Because I used to roof houses. And we just listened to a lot of Aaron Tippin because we felt like he was roofing houses with us.
Yeah. He was kind of the blue-collar, working man's country guy for sure.
Like, he's working man's PhD, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's him.
I guess his songs just told me, and I just believed him.
Yeah, exactly.
But then I met him, and I was like, no, he was telling the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
He wasn't really putting on because he was. So what's the goal for you in country music? Like, what would make you the happiest if you had what? Blank.
I want to write and put out songs that stand the test of time, that in 50 years people are still coming back to them and being like, this is the gold standard in country music.
But what if they're not successful now? What if they're just good, but in 50 years they're still good?
Mm-hmm.
Would you give that up to be great for 10 and then be forgotten after?
No. All the icons that I like emulated and the guys that I look back to as like, that was country music at its finest right there. You know, if it's Merle Haggard or George Jones or whatever. You know, Gary Stewart, I think, is a great example of somebody that didn't have a huge career for a lot of reasons. You know, he wouldn't know Garth Brooks or George Strait. But some of those records and some of those songs, that's the gold standard in country music right there.
So that's
your
goal.
And I'll go back to those time after time after time. Yeah, obviously I'd love to be selling out stadiums and, you know, do all that too. But most importantly, I think it just put out songs that people will keep coming back to and be like, that was as good as country music could get.
April 5th, the full album comes out.
Yes, sir.
You went with a wild name that's totally off-brand.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Cold Beer and Country Music.
Yes, sir.
Is that a track?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. I thought it was. That was one of the tracks.
So yeah, that was the first thing we put out to streaming.
Why did you select that as your... that? Because, again, you could pick... There's a lot of... we could roll through that. You could have been Cowboys Like Me Do.
Mm-hmm.
You could have been... There are a lot... Bad Luck could have been the...
Yep.
Why that?
Or Sounds Like the Radio. I mean, that's just me to a T right there. You see that title, you know what you're getting. You're getting the country music here, and you best get the cold beer out because you're going to want some as soon as you hear the first track.
What about warm beer?
That would be fine too, but it's less enjoyable. Mm-hmm. In a pinch.
I've never drank beer, so I don't know.
I've drank a warm one before when there wasn't no cold ones to be had.
What about a hot beer?
I'd probably avoid.
Like tea.
You ever had
a tea?
You'd lose all the carbonation. That would be horrible.
You just haven't done it right.
Maybe not. A tea beer.
A tea is that a beer.
Thing?
I've never, Bobby. Listen, I've never had a beer, so I can have all these.
There's a reason
ideas.
They keep it all cold.
I'm sure. But I just think you could just tell people it's different and good, and they'd think it was great. Mm-hmm. We're doing hot beer.
I could be a big branding thing for me. This is the
and then just
hot beer and
like,
country music guy. Yeah.
So this record's going to come out.
Yes, sir.
The songs that we haven't heard yet. Because, by the way, that sounds like Radio Crush. That song, it was like Most Added or whatever.
Yeah.
It was one of the most added
for 3 weeks straight, I think. Yeah.
Like, that's all. How does that make you feel?
I was blown away. It felt like a bit of a sigh of relief. It's kind of, you know, I knew that song obviously sticks out like a sore thumb compared to anything else on the charts right now. And I figured if it sticks out that bad, it's either going to be a love it or hate it thing. And so I just very thankful felt like we could, okay, we weren't making it up. We weren't crazy. This might work once that came out and it got that response.
The rest of the songs that we haven't heard yet,
mm-hmm.
sonically, what are they?
More of the same, baby. I said that in a Billboard interview recently. I didn't even think of it when I said it, but when I read the write-up after, I was like, that's pretty funny. That's a pretty good line. I said, for those of you that like it, that's great. You're going to get a whole bunch more of the same. If you don't, you're not getting anything different. So it's more country music as good as I can manage to make it.
Do you still listen to any bluegrass that's being made, like current bluegrass?
Not much. That's same sort of thing. I feel like if I go listen to some bluegrass, it's usually older school stuff, Larry Sparks or, you know, that old J.D. Crow in the New South stuff. I love bluegrass album band stuff. That's where it was at for me. Lonesome River Band, that was the stuff that made me fall in love with it that I wanted to emulate and play.
You know, Dierks, obviously you're going to do some with Dierks.
Yes, sir.
Like that dude.
Yeah.
He'll bluegrass you all day.
Yes, sir.
And legitimately.
Yep.
Like, it's not an act. I mean, he went and did a bluegrass record.
Yeah, exactly.
And spent a bunch of time and money and energy and just because of he loved to do it. I mean, I was talking to Dolly, and she was talking about bluegrass. She said she had to get rich before she could do something that she wanted to do when she was poor, which was make a bluegrass record.
Yeah. I think Ricky Skaggs had a line about that, too, something about, I went and made some money in country music so I could afford to keep making bluegrass music.
Well, man, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's really cool because, I mean, so many of the folks around here that I like kind of vouched for what you were doing.
Sure.
Because, I mean, there are 10,000 things coming at all of us every single day.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, with you, people, with me. And so I don't get around to everything. I'd like to, and I make a note. But there were two or three people that were like, Zach Toff's awesome. Like, he's like the neck. And so I was like, well, let me see. And I'd listen, and I liked it. But then I was like, let me see if this dude's putting on or not. Because, like, you know.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You look like you could be cosplaying a cowboy.
100%.
But it's really you.
Yeah.
The mustache is not only real, it's as off. I mean, if you didn't have a mustache, I would go like, you need a mustache.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like it completes the picture.
But you're just like a kid.
Yeah. And my mustache looks like a kid's mustache.
No, it's good. No, it's definitely solid.
Appreciate it.
Well, man, I'm a big fan now.
Thank you so much.
I'm rooting for you. I like anybody who... It doesn't matter what style you're doing. It doesn't have to be in country music. It can be whatever. I like anybody who doesn't really change because the temperature says so.
Yep.
And it can be a bit difficult to be doing it one way when everybody says, hey, maybe you should just modify slightly.
Yeah.
And I just don't feel like you've done that. And I feel like that's the strongest thing about you. And that's what's going to really propel you.
The same way
you talk about your songs, like you're going to love it or you're going to hate it. You know, with you... That's where you want everything, right? Because you can't get any traction. If you're just pretty good, nobody cares.
Yeah. Yeah. Somewhere in the middle doesn't do you.
It doesn't do you any at all.
Yeah. Yep.
And so, like, I just think you're going to kill it because you're the real deal as far as what you present.
Thank you, man.
And if you don't like it, you're still the real deal.
Yeah.
But you don't worry about them.
Yep.
There are enough people that love what you do.
Yeah.
Well, really cool, man. This has been super fun for me. You guys can follow Zach at Zach_Top on Instagram, and then Zach Top on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
But you got more TikTok followers than Instagram followers.
Yes, I do. Yeah, TikTok's been good to me. It's so funny.
Isn't that weird?
I never wanted
that are the one that TikTok's been good to.
Yeah, it is goofy. It's ironic to
denim
me.
Denim on denim.
That's right.
Jeans rolled up, mustache wearing. Aaron Tippin hat having.
Yeah.
He didn't have a hat, the hair.
No, hair.
Yeah, hair. Yeah, he didn't wear a hat. Sounds like the radio, which is now. But this podcast will live on in perpetuity. So whatever you're putting out, everybody check it out. Zach Top. Mike, anything you want to say to Zach here?
It inspired me to grow a mustache. I've been trying for like 20 years.
Come on now.
Hey, don't stop believing.
I have a hope now.
Don't stop believing. All right, Zach, good to see you, buddy.
Thank you, Bobby.
Thanks for listening to a Bobbycast production.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.